You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must be done, you'll get it done. So go ahead and get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or each 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, just go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see the first one, African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. You also can use the shortcut, whatever search engine that you use. Put in the search, Baba Oshi. .net, BABAOSHI.net. And once again, programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Thursdays, tomorrow night, from 8 to 10, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Friday, 8 p.m. until Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday at 7, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tayemba, who is taking our people to the motherland for many years now. And he's ready to go again. July 11th through the 23rd to Ghana. Then November 20th to December 2nd to Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Zanya. April 4th to April 14th, Kenya, 2025. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. And of course, going to the website, you will have all kinds of stuff, everything that you need to make a trip of a lifetime. Even if you don't go with him, you can utilize the website for other possibilities for you to travel to the motherland. Ah, yes. Habashaw. Habashawincorporated.org. Oh, let me say this, as I always do. if you want to see pictures of previous tours,
go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Habashah, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And brothers and sisters have saved the date for a festival in Ghana, October 12th. And that's my daughter's birthday. Yes, October 12th. So remember that the Habashah has the Habashah Works, Back to Our Roots, Black to Our Roots, the Sustainable Season Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs Projects here in Atlanta, and the things that they're doing in Ghana with Tekashi Project. Habashah Incorporated.org. The Minister of Wellness. I can't seem to bring up the Ledge Group family, because I know that was another program that I've always promoted, the Ledge Group. Can't seem to bring that up, and I lost contact with Brother Peter Brown, so I don't know. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, is still presently in Kenya. But you can go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. Smy Pharmacy, Brother Jabril. Many new products on the line that he has on his website. Go to the website, smypharmacy.com. S-A-S-M. Okay, Oshi. S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. @gmail.com, Smy Pharmacy. If you want to give him a caller, give him a call at 770-765-7751. 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy. And, of course, Brother Moses West and the Moses West Foundation. And the Atmospheric Water Generating Machine. The Atmospheric Water Generating Machine. I tell you, it's a beautiful thing. There's water out there. And there's so many people who don't have access. And that's the issue. They don't have access. Clean water. Access saves. Clean water access saves lives. So, brother, go to the website, themosesweststfoundation.org, and donate. Donate one time. Donate monthly. Whatever you can do. Donate whatever amount. Water. Clean, drinkable, usable water. All right. So water is the lifeblood of humanity. Water is the life. Yeah, you can go days without food. But you only go a few days without water. So, let's make that happen, family. All right. All right. Us lifting us to Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Their Thursday night broadcast. Tomorrow night from 9 to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us lifting us. If you want to give them a call to listen to the program, you can do so, or give your questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Yep. So, Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And man, that Brother BJ, he's got it going on, man. He has that place, every nook and cranny of it happening with something. He's got furniture, he's got clothing, he's got figurines, he's got African soap, holistic health products, beauty products, oils and incense, CDs, DVDs, books, jewelry. Brother Abijah, right on. And, of course, you can give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, and man, right here in the West End, right on Ralph David Abernathy. They have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and health foods and dry goods. All kinds of good stuff for you, brothers and sisters. That's Wadada's. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore, Mama Nia, has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and gift certificates, and so much more. If you want to give her a call to find out if you're looking for a book that she may have, and if she doesn't have, she'll order it for you. Call her at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta off of I-20. Take I-20, head east, take exit 74, make a left. Now you're headed north, and of about a mile or so, on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. They're having a program, but I was trying to find it. It's coming up real soon, so. But give them a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the black dot, my good brother Kazemde Ajamu. Yep. Head back in your car and head back the other way. Now you're going south, but make another left onto I-20 East. The next exit, exit 75. Take that exit, make a right. Three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Yep. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, give my sister, my good sister, Shelly Amonsetta, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. And sanjay-iet.org. Sister Gabby is doing great work with the children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, and she deserves to be supported. Go to Sanjay, sonjay-iet.org. Sanjay-Haiti, and find it in your heart to make a contribution, because, you know, they rely on us. They don't. Yep. Akabin Institute and Akabin House. Akabin House is where you can get the great books that Baba Baruti writes. And, of course, Akabin Institute is the school that he and his lovely wife, Mama Nia, have been operating for many years now. And it used to be at Morehouse, but they chose to be independent, which is something that we must think about. And more importantly, they understand the importance of educating our own, our kids. Okay? All right. And I'll end with the Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sasim. NYANSASEM. Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to give the ones I usually would give, which would be yesterday and today. And later we'll go through the ones that we've missed, because I was out of town or whatever. Okay, family? All right. So, June 10th. Oh, we read that one. Public Enemy. June 11th.
Our education must therefore inoculate a sense of commitment to the total community and help the pupils to accept the values appropriate to our kind of future. Julius Nyerere, Tanzania. A community reveals itself in crises. Although its circumstances may vary, its heart does not change. Therefore, what we see is what it is, and what we see with each and every crisis in our community is a momentary reactive escalation in our efforts to remove our children from the educational institutions and personnel selected and paid by Urugu to deconstruct any semblance of self-awareness and revolutionary consciousness in our children. These cynical escalations speak volumes to both our unbroken awareness that we are at war and genocidally assaulted, and the fact that our limited response has grown weaker and weaker over time. Each time we begin as if from scratch, each time those who have already been doing this independent sovereignty focused work have to call out from the seemingly darkness to remind us of the pacifying state that this mis- and diseducation has reduced us to. Each time they call us to awaken from our fear and ignorance for the sake of the children and to begin to find the courage to brave the storm which will demonstrate our love for them and all African people forever. Each time they ask us to reveal ourselves unto ourselves so we can see each other's crises, regardless of the circumstances, for what it is, a struggle with potential to release us from our enslavement and return ourselves home. Our struggle to permanently liberate our children's minds should be epigenetic, not rational. Each escalation should build on the previous one, not repeatedly start as if no meaningful work has preceded it. Affirm, I teach accountability. June 12th. That's today, my daughter's birthday. What can we do to help our children become strong? Queen Mother Nyerere Okusa. We can set the standard for what it means to be African by applying the wisdom of our ancestors. We can be the model of accountability and non-contradiction when it comes to our community's interests. We can take the chances which allow for the gradual redevelopment of trust among us. We can show them that the God within, through guiding them into a thorough, through the tough challenges of being warriors. We can be righteous and humble in everything we think, speak, and do. We can create or join the type of security force we need to solve our internal issues and confront enemy forces. We can support these businesses, organizations, and efforts which uncompromisingly express revolutionary, sovereignty-seeking politics and nation-building relationships. We can confront deceit, the killing of the God within. To murder God is to murder us and our movement. Our mission statement for helping our people become strong is not complicated. All we need to do is find like minds, build sacred spaces, and protect them with our lives. Ashe, affirm. I model strength. Affirm, I model strength. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes. We'll be reading more of that in a moment. Welcome, brothers and sisters. I enjoyed being back on Monday. Had a good program. We have a good program again today. And hope you're doing well. I know the weather's about to, in this area, about to get a little miserable with these temperatures. But it is what it is, right? You know, thank God we're not in
Thank God we're not in Arizona, where it's hot as hell. It's been that way for like a couple of weeks now. Triple digits a couple of weeks, you know? Yeah. Yeah, here's Brother Kalonji. This Saturday, the 15th, if you are in the ATL Saturday, this is what you should be doing. Yeah. This Saturday. African liberation now, in the spirit of our ancestors. Baba Barudi, Brother Kalonji, and Brother Ogudengi. House of Ogun, 4720 Birch Street, Birch Drive, Union City, Georgia. Yeah. Limited seating, so you got to be there. Got to get there on time. Okay. Three outstanding presentations. Yep. I hate the fact that what prevents me from getting involved is I have to chauffeur my cousin, chauffeur my grandson around, you know? Yeah. Get my grandson from workouts, practice to games, and this month there's a lot of them because it's the school summer league for his high school. So I know that's what I've committed to, helping my grandson, and I want him to do well in school, do well in playing, so he can get a scholarship and he can go to school and learn. And he may or may not play professional basketball. I never spoil anybody's dream, but we know the odds, tremendous odds. But if he does those things and get a scholarship, man, because number one, his mama ain't got no money, his grandmama ain't got no money, his grandfather ain't got no money. Ain't none of us got no money. And school is high as hell. It's ridiculous how high school is. It really is, you know. So, yeah. Baba Barudi will be here with us this Monday. Looking forward to it. And, giving him as much time as possible as we can give. And all the things that are happening, find out what he's up to and what he's doing. And, of course, his school, Akabin Institute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to read and comment, and please call in on the comments and the words of Baba Barudi after the quote from a individual at the top of the page, a quote that he responds to it, and I'd like for you to respond as well as myself. So, and we've done this for a number of years after I come back from being off of one of my, you know, things that I do, whether it's the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute in June, where there's a regional conference or a convention of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, or some other event that takes me from the house and to another place. And so those times that are off, I like to come back and read what we've missed of the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. So this one was May 24th. Prisons are repositories of rage. And this brother should definitely know. Mumia Abu Jamal. Political prisoners do not take pretty pictures.
When they smile, it is through the haunting eyes of immeasurable torture, terror, exhaustion, and utter bewilderment over their tormentors, fear, and hatred of life itself. What they survive is beyond the human imagination. They are held in places designed to break the human spirit, and which have no connection with sanity. And they, more than any other inmates, are targeted for breakage because they can see the destroyers in all of their darkness and their nakedness. Of course, confinement and the rage it engenders among everyone contained therein is not limited to concrete and steel coffins, though some of us carry the honor of being inmates. Every one of us is an inmate in Yoruba's reality. Most of us walk around in unfenced yards, protecting and projecting our anger and frustration against each other. For those in this larger external prison, the confinement is usually purely mental. Within limits, we select the accommodations of our oppression. Nonetheless, the point is that whichever side of the wall we live on, all Africans are prisoners. And on both sides, there are political prisoners, inmates, who recognize the beast and bang against it, fortified walls with everything at their disposal. Inside and out, we find warriors who understand that African sovereignty cannot manifest if fear keeps us confined within the barriers of Yoruba's imposed on our existence. Fear of what they will do as a result of what we must do cannot be the basis upon which we think, speak, or act, or an empowered sovereignty will never be achieved. Even beyond this, if those who would follow in our footsteps detect our fear, they will never be courageous enough to even look in sovereignty's direction. Affirm, I provide inmates with conscious outlets for their rage. I provide inmates with conscious outlets for their rage. For their rage. You know, when you read the Inyasa Selm in Baba Broody's clear thinking, consistent thinking on independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And you know, particularly for those who listen to this program consistently, you know that's what we must do. And you also know that it is difficult to do it because it is about the mind. It's not something outside of it. It's about internal. It is about the mind. You know, there's some boundaries that the European have placed on us. These imposed boundaries that make us act and behave in the way that we do. And that's why I don't blame us. I put the blame where it squarely belongs. And I know that how we behave and the stuff that we say to each other, things we do to each other, and the fact that there are more and much more of us who want the situation to happen for us. They want America to happen for us like it's happening for the European. They want us to be melted into this system. They don't want us to fight the Caucasian. They don't want us to have free minds. They want us to think and act and behave like they do. They want us to go to their schools. They want us to get their jobs and live in their neighborhoods. Many of our people don't want independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. They want integration, assimilation. They want to live in this madness without the madness. But that's what it will always be, family. And you will never, no matter how hard you want it and how hard you try to make it happen, will never be a part of this system. Now, one wouldn't want to put up an argument that we've already been a part of it. We were just as much as making decisions. We have African faces, black faces. That's a better point. They have black faces in high places. Just as the sister who gave an address at Spelman this year. Just because we have black faces in high places don't mean anything. They don't mean nothing. You know? But yet, we hope that it does. We hope that seeing us, that they see us and accept us. The Urugu, or the Caucasians, or the white man, whatever term you want to use, the oppressor, you know, the bottom line is that they're not going to change who they are. They're not going to suddenly become a humane entity and treat everybody with dignity and respect and work with and allow us the freedom to be who and what we want to be. That's not going to happen. Not in their world. Not in their world. And the tough part is that they think all of this is their world. They know there are a number of Asians or Chinese or Japanese or Koreans. They know that there are Arabs, if you want to call them that, or people who live in the so-called Middle East. They know that there are other cultural groups around the planet. And they sure as hell know about us. And the problem the problem that we have is we don't know about us. And it saddens me and sickens me to see how devastated the continent is, how continuously I could see and understand. You know, early on when Europeans invaded Africa, I could see that. But once independence happened, supposedly, once they were supposed to be out as the rulers of certain countries, but yet they still rule. Yet they still control. Yeah. Yet they still control. And they'll be in controlling as long as we let them. As long as we don't make a challenge. As long as we don't correct this madness. It is up to us. They're not going to do it. And no amount of talk. No amount of discussions, debates, none of those things. Oh, man. I was just in an email that I'm off the air. I wonder how that happened. I wonder if I'm still off the air. I know these things happen sometimes. You know, they really do.
And so I'm hoping that I'm not. So, gotta find out what's going on. Yeah. You know, that's the thing about the technology family. You know, sometimes it works beautifully and continuously, and sometimes it doesn't. You know, I remember some years ago. Okay. I'm going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll find out what the heck is going on. And once again, well, you're listening to African Perspectives. So we'll be right back. Hey, Brother Rick, am I on? You hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. Well, at least you came. You were off for a moment. And they were playing a tape, I guess, earlier, another broadcast. But back on now.
Okay, well, that's...
But I noticed you... Are we back on the air now?
Yes, we should be.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know you and I are talking, but
yeah.
I don't know if it's going on.
Right.
It really doesn't matter. Because I called to speak with you, and good grand rising to you, brother.
You too, dear brother. You too.
And I want you to know I really do appreciate the commentaries, and more so the perspective of your commentaries. You know, a lot of people, mm-hmm. Oshie, I don't have to tell you this, but I just want to confirm and affirm that a lot of people don't think like us.
No, they don't.
I mean, you know, they look like us, but that is pretty much where it begins and ends.
Yeah.
And because if we as a people, first of all, I'm actually getting older now, and I'm starting to realize that there's no such thing as we as a people. You know, there are people who have different perspectives of life and different aspirations and different interpretations of what is occurring. And like you pointed out earlier, you know, I really do appreciate your perspective because it's like me talking to myself sometimes, you know, and that keeps me sane. Otherwise,
yeah,
I'd be on a rooftop with a whole bunch of ammo and getting rid of a whole lot
of people. That's right.
You know,
but
that I'm going to take the initiative and say that I'm going to do God a favor and get rid of this devil.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's sad, man, that we got a whole nother generation who have no real perspective, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
They don't have a real perspective of the world we live in. And they try to do things to participate when my thought, it would be that our efforts, our energy, our perspective should be on separating as opposed to participating. You know, I always think of it like my parents when I was obviously a very young child. And I would think like, man, you know, when I was 11 and 12 years old, like, and people like Malcolm were talking and my dad would listen to it, but my mom, she didn't like that stuff. In her interpretation and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it occurred to me that there's no way that we can participate in this as long as these people evaluate our humanity based on how we look. We can't change how we look.
No, we can't. We cannot.
Nor should we want to.
Right, because we're beautiful.
Absolutely we are.
Yeah.
You know, even in appearance. Mm-hmm. We might have a beautiful appearance and a hell of an ugly soul.
Yeah.
But we still look good to begin with.
That's right.
You know, everything
that
happens after that is our choice.
That's
us. Nature provided our appearance. Mm-hmm. But our activities are something that we choose.
Right.
And I swear, man, I hit my 70s this year. And I'm thinking, like, you know, when I was younger, I used to think, oh, she, how, man, maybe we can get together and get this thing right, you know. And now, and I hope I'm wrong, but now it appears that people are more inclined to figure out ways to participate in their own demise than to separate. I mentioned my parents earlier because, I mean, I loved my parents. Of course I did.
Sure, sure.
But I got to the point when I was in my early teens, it was like, I can't stay here in this house. I just can't, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was my initiative, my personality, or my perspective on life. I loved my parents, but I got to go. And we've never had that I've got to go mm-hmm. perspective as a people. You know, we've always tried to figure out ways that we can participate.
Right.
And what we end up participating with, OC, is our own demise.
Exactly.
We do that. And
exactly.
So, you know, when someone is so ignorant that you can beat them up and they think that's an act of love, they're already gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the perspective of a lot of our people, OC. I know you know it because I know it. And I mean, we see it every day. We hear it every day. That's why I so appreciate your broadcast and your perspective of your broadcast and the topics that you talk about. But more so, if you were talking about sports, you would still be talking about the kinds of things that I could relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I would try, brother.
And
believe
so, well, I know. And so I'm only saying that to say that, you know, when people think alike, they think alike.
Mm-hmm.
And so I listen to the commentaries and people's perspective when they call in and some of the things they say. And everybody has a right to their opinion, don't you? You know, I mean, you broadcast, but you allow
right.
to admit that. But I'm going to say this. I think we've missed our opportunity as a people in this country, in this culture. I'll put it that way because they got nothing to do with the land. It's what we're taught when we're young people and we grow up thinking that somehow we've been wrong. These white folks don't think we've been wrong. They think we are in exactly where we should be, killing
right.
ourselves
yep.
for them,
yep.
to save them face, so they can say, oh, we didn't do it. You know, y'all are doing it.
Right.
But they set up all of the circumstances that we make those terrible decisions.
That's right.
And we don't have any recompense for our own perspectives.
And
that's sad.
Yeah, and that is and that's why many of us consistently blame ourselves for our destruction, for our demise. We blame ourselves instead of putting the blame where it squarely belongs on those
that's
who
right.
have perpetrated this madness against us and continually to do so. And yet, you know, we think that the better chance for us is to be more like them and have them like us, have them share with us this madness that they have created for themselves. And to me, that's the wrong thing because that is furthers our demise. That furthers our elimination. I mean, you know, we have been targeted for destruction. And, you know, when you hear some of these Caucasians speak, you know, in forums and so forth nationally, what they're basically doing is they're declaring war on us. They're talking about eliminating us. They're talking about, you know, population control. We got to control what's happening in Africa. There's too many people in Africa. They're projected to have 1.something billion people in Africa, you know, and they're disposable, you know. I mean, everything that these people are doing is geared towards eliminating us, and we don't challenge it. And the real way to challenge it, in fact, the main thing, of course, is to defend yourself. You know, but the main thing, the way it challenges us, is
getting this foolishness out of our minds and beginning to believe in ourselves, to believe in each other, trust one another, share with one another, work with one another. That is the bottom line. We need some functional unity. That's why I always bring up the Nguza Saba or the seven principles of Ma'at. These things are real. If instilled in our everyday lives, it would change the dynamic overnight. But we keep thinking this is just as much ours as it is theirs. You know, that we have dark faces in high places, and so therefore we should be happy about that. You know, no, we don't run nothing. Yes, we don't run a damn thing.
That's right.
You know?
We don't even run our households, man.
No,
you're
we
right.
Don't.
You're right. You know, because they'll turn on the TV and the white person will say something, and I'm not being gender attacking or anything, but, you know, the woman, that she'd be like, that's right. And you know damn well that ain't right. But you can't. But you know what I'm saying?
That's funny,
see,
but it ain't
this
funny.
This is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny, but it ain't funny. You're That's absolutely right, man. You see these people with their hair, they put more value on the texture and the appearance of their hair than they do of their soul, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what gets me. They don't realize that there's much more to life than appearance. And we don't get into that, man. And like I say, that's why I appreciate listening to you. I try not to call your show. Well, I won't say I try not to call. But I try to listen and hear people's perspective to maybe balance out my own. I could be wrong.
You're right.
I've learned a lot of times that I've said things that weren't quite accurate. I won't say wrong.
Right.
But weren't quite accurate. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
However, I want you to be encouraged, man. I want you to know that we can't be the only two people on the planet.
No, and we're not.
And so that there are other people that appreciate you, they may not get the opportunity to call, but they listen and they like the fact that you don't always agree with the norm. In fact, you rarely, if ever, agree with what's
exactly.
Norm, you know, because you know we know, man. They're not our creators. I'm sitting here looking at all this land that these people stole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's what they did. They outright stole it.
Yeah, everywhere.
And it's acres and acres and acres and acres.
All over
of
the planet.
Land that's just
all over the
over
planet.
The
they
planet.
Claimed it for themselves. They created Australia and all these other places in the Caribbean, in Central and South America. They did that. In Africa.
That's right.
You
that's
know, we're
right.
supposed to have 54. They say we're supposed to have 54 sovereign nations on the continent of Africa. That's bull. They're not sovereign. They're still tied monetarily, resource to France, to Belgium, to Germany. You know, when you go to Namibia or South Africa, the Afrikaners in South Africa still running it. And how I determine who's running it, who is in control of the money and who's in control of the military. I don't give a damn about anything else.
You can have, pitches.
Yeah.
The one whose picture is on the money that we use, that lets you know all you need to know.
Right.
Yep. That lets you know that we control your efforts. And I don't mean you and I, but I'm saying we control what it is you pursue in life to gain this piece of paper, which ain't going to do you no damn good.
Right.
When the doctor tells you you've got 20 minutes left, you can have all the paper in your pocket that exists. And it will not prolong what nature has provided for your ending, if you will.
Yep.
So I just want you to know, brother.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
Continue on with what you're doing.
All right. Right on, Brother Rick. Thanks a lot, dear brother. Peace to you, man. All right.
Peace to you, brother.
All
war
right.
to all the others.
I know that's right. That's my brother Rick, man. He's been listening for quite a while. He started calling and he said, yeah, man, I appreciate this program. And I know there's others out there, too, and I appreciate them listening. And for those who call in to engage in dialogue, I appreciate that. These are some of the Inyasa Sims that were missed because of me being out of town or not making it. So this is another one, May 27th. All history has shown that this government will bring its police and military powers to bear on any group which is truly seeks to free African people. Any African freedom organization which ignores self-defense does so at its own peril. Sandiata Kole, who was a political prisoner for many years, was finally let go, and he made his transition, I think, late last year or earlier this year. Brother Sandiata Kole. We know that in Yoruba's reality, we will always be outnumbered and outgunned, but that is no reason whatsoever to accept defeat. It is a reason to act wisely and not allow ourselves or our organizations to be exposed. That's right. Because we gotta do stealth stuff, you know what I'm saying? Fly under the radar. If we have read history, we know that it is a reason to remain below the radar, because history tells us that every individual group or organization which Urugu was able to see was systematically co-opted, nullified, or destroyed. History is supposed to teach us to know what cometh and to not continue making the same mistakes over and over again. So we have to overcome the need to be seen, heard, and applauded for the work we do for African people. Yes, we must organize, but we must do it way, way, way beneath the radar. We must build under the radar better than we have above it. Along with this, know that when dealing with our adversaries, a mask of deception is appropriate. You do not offer truthful information to enemies. You do not be dismayed or hampered by those of us who should not be enemies, but who do not realize the influence of their own treacherous and treasonous mental societal tendencies. In a society of liars, in a reality where everyone is kept in check against critiquing others by their personal history of lies, a truthful person is hated. Only speak truth to those with the capacity to respect it for what it is. Ashe. Affirm, I operate within organizations who have a functional, active self-defense program far beneath the radar. I operate within organizations who have a functional, activated self-defense program far beneath the radar. Yes. Yeah. That's how we got to operate. Many of us talk all this smack, and we doing this, we doing that. And we ain't doing nothing. Yeah. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, sorry I was off for a minute for whatever reason, but when we come back for the break, we'll continue to read from the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, and we will take your calls. Comment on that or whatever it is you want to call and talk about, because, you know, this is Brother Rick said, this is our show. This is our program for those whose minds aren't co-opted, for those whose minds are that they want to believe in ourselves and each other. Okay. Brothers and sisters, we'll be right back. You stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
people, I
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to the African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. Timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Parliament, Funkadelic, America Eats Its Young album. A joyful process. It's a bad cut, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, man. Off, it's going off. It went off again. I, Man, I tell you, I'm not sure if it's my internet here, which of course it could be. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, man. Yeah. So, let us get back to the reading of the Inya, Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And the next one I chose from the time I was off was May 30th. We are people of beginnings, of culture, of strength. Not always have we given into the empty threats and scare tactics of the powerless ones. Not always have we allowed the blood of our sons and daughters to color the streets while we're walking asleep, marching to the beat of that siren song. Sister Suni Patterson, great poet and spoken word artist here in the, and she's national, but she's here in the Atlanta area. Some of us actually do confess, desperate and limited in our thinking, that we believe that meaningless, distractive argumentation against ourselves is really fruitful in the midst of war. So many of us will even try to talk Urugu out of its Asili, and Negroes and lost souls out of their menticidal reverence for them. Such individuals operate within the lie that science and logic is not political and that it is self-correcting. For this reason, they can understand neither the intent nor the vision of either of these predatory groups. Whether consciously or not, it is telling that these great debaters never take the time to ask themselves whether or not the discussion or its outcome serves our interests in any unconditionally, permanently empowering way. They never ask if it has ever produced any meaningful, lasting change in the magnitude of our oppression. We must grasp the fact that insanity is clearly insanity. It undermines the possibilities of having a real discussion. This is not to belittle conversing. Communication is required for fluid frontline movement. It is only a request that warriors give deeper consideration to whom they deliver our troops and why they would be engaging us in any form of dialogue in the first place. Affirm, I do not sleep while on duty. Affirm, I do not sleep while on duty. And we must engage ourselves. But there's time, you know, for various talks and various conversations. There's time for that. There is a time for that. And I hope that when we have the time for the conversation that truly helps to liberate our minds, that we're listening to African-centered elders, African-centered educators, African-centered workers. We're listening to warriors, men and women who are on the front lines. That's what I hope. Because anything other than that is irrelevant. Anything other than that is moot. Yeah. Okay. May 31st. The pimp looking like the reverend. And the reverend looks like the pimp. Talib Kweli. There are some claiming to be warriors whose egos are so large and deficient that they cannot see that what they are doing is directly serving Urugu's genocidal agenda. Because they cannot see their people over their egos, they must loudly lash out at anything that will get them the individual attention they so desperately seek, even if that means destroying any workers, movements, or organizations which have given or have the potential to give stability to the front line and in turn provide greater means for ensouring our children. Yeah, they look at what's in it for me. Look at me. Hear me. They are like the children who would burn down their own village because of the lack of warmth they find there. However, the owners of these egos who want to burn down the front line today are not children, at least not chronologically so. They have adult ages. They want to burn it down, not because it has shown them no love, but because it refuses to surrender to them the kind of passive, subservient adornment that pampers their egos by opening an underserved special stage for them to be elevated above everyone else. As a result, they lash out at anything they can imagine and or manufacture a flaw in and exaggerate that friction into an issue of significant concern for others would-be warriors, other needy individuals who cannot keep their egos in check either. Understand the level of arrogance and the contempt that they must have for our ancestors in order for them to act in a way that gives license to treason and then rationalizes it as serving the people. Affirm, I am not confused by social or cultural attire. Affirm, I am not confused by social or cultural attire. And we have so many of us, you know. And what's interesting, we see lately, you see some overt Negroes. And they have a platform. They're always going to have a platform in a society run by Yoruba, because these are the challengers. These are the ones like Jesse Lee Peterson and the what's Tim Scott? Tim Scott, man. And the other Negro I was talking about the other day about Jim Crow. We were living better under I understand what you're saying about there were more intact families. There were a lot of things that we did or we had to do because of the circumstance. Because of the circumstance. And because we were not allowed to go buy from the stores that the Caucasian had established. We were not allowed to, you know, do these things that that prevented us. So we develop our own. And then when we were fortunate, and even though it came at a serious expense to us, to go on that trail of tears with indigenous people to the Plain State, specifically Oklahoma. And there was land that we had that where oil was struck and we got rich. And so Tulsa, Oklahoma became the place for us, for many of us to come to build businesses and establish community and neighborhoods and so forth. But because of Rosewood and anywhere else, Boley, Oklahoma, Allentown in Los Angeles area, wherever we begin to do something independent and on our own, establishing businesses, establishing institutions, the Caucasian didn't like that. He wants us to beg and to plead and to be subservient. So we can't have these folks getting all uppity. So instead of just vamping on them outright, we'll develop an excuse. One of the main excuses, of course, you know, us trying to get with white women.
man, nowadays you can't see a commercial. Every other commercial is, quote, intercultural. I don't say racial because there's no such thing as race, but intercultural. Every commercial, every other. And that is more of a recent phenomenon than something that has happened from the beginning, as you know. But I believe they let that happen because they have the control. And they know what they do will have us following that. Because there's some of us, brothers and sisters, we're not African. We're not African. We're something. We changed the captivity that we've experienced has changed us. We're not African. We're black. We're black. And for many of us in that particular mindset, we don't want to be African. We want to be black. Because being black, it just shows that we don't want to be white, but we want what whites have. We want what whites have where they live. We want what whites have in their jobs, in their schools. We want what they have. And we don't want our own independent, no. You know, I know we have the HCBUs, and of course the HCBUs are ruled and controlled by the state or other private entities. Many of the schools are named after Caucasians. And the foundations that they developed for us. And we used to talk with some pride, I remember, about how many of us in the HCBUs, how many developed doctors and lawyers and so forth, and all that's good. But we didn't develop independent minds. We didn't develop brothers and sisters who understood that we are Africans and that our salvation lies with hooking up with other Africans. We didn't say from an ACBU, hey, let's go over to the continent and recruit some Africans. Africans out of the continent have gone into other parts. Not that they were recruited by, I don't believe, but they've gone to schools in England and France. They've gone to school in other parts of the world. They've gone to school here and did quite well. And did quite well. You hear it all the time. You see it all the time on Facebook. Some 14-year-old young man or young woman, Nigerian most often, who graduated from college. You know? Those bright minds. I would love for those minds and those hearts and those souls would be in service to us. But what they want to do, they want to work for Caucasians. They want to, you know, yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyway, let's continue with the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, some of the ones that we missed. June 1st, just like roaches, hit the light, you see them scurrying. Anonymous Onyx. We are witnessing the desperate fighting of the remaining weak kings and queens for a name on the front line.
These are disposed individuals whose whole claim to fame is built on slander, innuendo, rumor, and groundless fabrications. It is a rise based on pulling down those earnestly work for the people in order to gain a name for themselves, as evidenced by the fact that they themselves have built nothing of worth for us, have said little which does not begin with the words of those they seek allies against and who rely wholly on the needlessness and the gullibility of their following to raise armies to promote and enforce an endless divisiveness among African people. COINTELPRO could not have done better. And you know what COINTELPRO is. Yeah, that's this government system of infiltrating and dividing and undermining anything that we do. Much like the envious outcast Urugu systematically sought out in our communities to finance and arm against us during the earliest phases of the Maafa, they have no vision, at least no African one, and only seek individual fame and fortune and to create discord and feed off of it. Warriors must become the opposite of these individuals as models of nation builders for African people. Their efforts must go into concrete, beneficial action, not the deceptive eloquence which pretends power in the face of grotesque, unstopped destroyers. Warriors must return and remember that there is advantages, reasons why the strong, silent type has been historically revered in our community, especially during times of war. Warriors must return and remember that there is the advantageous reason why the strong, silent type has been are historically revered in our community, especially during the times of war. Had to read it twice because that's what we need. Affirm, I shine the light on all liars, thieves, and murderers. Affirm, I shine the light on all liars, thieves, and murderers. Yeah. Maafa. June 2nd. It is a well-established principle of law that every wrong has a remedy. Sister Ida B. Wells Barnett. Ida. We have come to accept Urugu and those who look like us but serve them, along with our other enemies, to attempt to disrespect us. You know, that's the bottom line. Continue to disrespect us. For most of us, you know, this is angering, even bewildering. It leaves them further damaged, impotent, and without any effectively correcting plan or action. Strangely enough, though, for some of us, their blatant attempts at disrespecting us carry a reinforcing value. It gives power to our righteous rage, a conscious, fully politicized state of mind, which always has an effective direction and means of expression. Otherwise, it is only reactive, uncalculating anger. And even though that some of us had long concluded that forgiveness could not have been remotely possible, even if Urugu had ceased their aggressions centuries ago, the physical and psychological violence they continue to commit against our people, a violence which is genetically premeditated and which feeds their childish, God-vying ignorance, rationalizes their ill-gotten gains, and blusters their psychopathically racist genocidal dreams, only adds to the conviction that karma, by our warriors' hands, is indispensable and inevitable. Either that or Ma'at is wrong. If that, some of us know nothing else. We know that all of our enemies and the generations they spawn will individually pay and that their collective payment will be just. Ashe. Affirm, I am the remedy for the ma'afa. Affirm, I am the remedy for the ma'afa. Yes, brothers and sisters. Yeah, they shall pay. Just like in the society, Frederick Douglass said, you may not get all you pay for, but you shall surely pay for all you get. Yeah. This is a society that is unforgivable. This is a society of me, myself, and I. This is a society that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do, don't we? Yes, we do. You know, we really do. What's the next one here? June 4th. Hence, our enemies who have brutally disrespected African life have already secretly established their rightful place in our history and in African judgment. Beyond them, however, those Africans who have allied themselves with our enemies and thus have failed to account for themselves on the right, on the correct and righteous side of our struggle, will also be relegated to their proper place in African judgment. Ashe! Damn traitors. Brother Kobe Cambon. Negro is a synonym for clown, i.e. a silly, weak, treasonous-minded performing in a three-ring circus, because they perform with Asians and Arabs and Europeans. That's cool. Negro is a synonym for clown, i.e. a silly, weak, treasonous mind performing in a three-ring Asian, Arab, and European circus. Only clowns would find it appropriate to guard the circus were deprived. Ringmaster toyed with their children. Man. Only a clown would find it appropriate to guard the circus were depraved. Ringmasters toyed with their children. Clowns are also eager to do Yoruba's work. Willful in their wayward ways, they have arrogantly made cheating chaos, creating chaos, discord, and dissent within our ranks, their lives' mission. Chronically inept, crippled by a seething self-hatred and deeply internalized sense of powerlessness, the only ones to whom they are not useless is their destroyers. Lies without hope, or at least no hope, that they would even entail raising higher than graveling for the love of their greatest enemies, are doomed to be wasted, venting confusion and anger against the only ones who actually can love them. Negroes and Negroettes alike are pitiful. Affirm, I do not pity the blighted, treasonous lives among us. I do not pity the blighted, treasonous lives among us. Yeah, that's deep. That's deep. Baba Baruti talks about in, like, once again, we'll have him on as a guest on Monday. Always looking forward to him. Can't get him too often. You know, he's in class, a book. But at one time, I remember one time we were having him, and we had him really messed up in really problematic connection that day. I remember we didn't have any, wound up not having a program. And he obliged to come back, and he did. So he's a good brother. June 5th. Only got a few more to go, so. June 5th. A child was more likely to grow up living with both parents during slavery days than he or she is today. And that's been mentioned to me a number of times. know, that's Sister Joy Jones. And what is said is like only 25% or even 20% of the sisters are married. So that's 80% of our, 75 to 80% of all children born, you know, the single parent woman, you know, so many other things that have divided us and fragmented us. Because as has been stated on this program a number of times, the greatest thing is family. And I'm talking about a man and a woman, a complement, and they have offspring and they raise them together. That's the greatest thing for us. I mean, if you can't do it together in the same household, you do what I did. I maintain and help raise my children, my daughters, and my grandsons, regardless. Being an influence and a positive influence in their lives. It is not us. We're not the source. An origin should always be the first answer sought in honest scientific questioning. That said, when it comes to the state of African families, be it possibilities or probabilities, single-headedness, divorce, or domestic violence, the source of the worst of these statistics can readily be found in the intensely individualizing, classifying, and oppressing culture of which we Africans as alien and enemy are subject to under them. This is theirs, not ours. And in this culture, it is designed that we don't have strong families. It is designed that we are at each other. It is designed that we look outside of ourselves. It is the social evolutionary path to which we have been assigned. As relatively ignorant, powerless imitators, which have broken so many of our families into a myriad of ever disconnecting, hateful, and wandering pieces. History tells all, and the lies Yorugu has embedded in the ones they have written in an effort to delude us into believing that their social supremacy and idyllic beauty have been revealed for those of us who are brave and re-Africanized enough to face. The only question is of whether we have become so much of what they would have us be that we cannot see the truth, nor disentangle ourselves from the primary blame. Relative to our family structures, we should bear in mind that the glaring and telling fact that there were disproportionately as many single female-headed families in traditional European society as they are here today. They pretend that broken families are a relatively new phenomenon, given that they essentially began with Africans about a half century ago. So we misguidedly seek blame within for social patterns which have historically characterized Yorugu society. Dysfunction is not us in pre-Yorugu statistical fact or their cultural ceiling or their traits. Dysfunction is not us. It is them. Affirm, as my ancestors are historically, I am child family centered. As my ancestors are historically, I am child family centered. We understood that because that is the origin of it. And it is thousands and thousands of years of us. June 6. Man often suffers most from the suffering he fears, an African proverb. If you are aggressing against me and I'm doing nothing to stop it with that, with what I know, however little that may be, except studying some possible ways which may begin to help me start to figure out how to stop it, then I am progressively losing. Our genocidist enemies are not waiting for us to wake up and act. They are taking full advantage of our sleep and inaction, waiting to do something which carries a guarantee of winning during a time of devastating crisis is like entertaining some good side of Yorugu's or Negro's argument for the sake of appearing balanced when you are already miles behind in the debate. There is no more guarantee that you will win a martial encounter than there is of being fully prepared for a marriage or child rearing. We should understand that at this point in time, we are ill prepared collectively. Yes. Yes. Damn it. But that's what we need to be, collective. But we're ill prepared. Still, we should know that it is better to have a transitioned on the battlefield in service to African people than to be a studious slave. And there is no reason to interpret this as suicidal thinking. In action, even in the area of simply protecting those we love, is a serious form of complacency. In effect, complacency based on refusing to act on the common sense of family child-centered people is more than just suicide. It is treason against those who have done the work before us, who are doing the work now, and those who have yet to come and continue the work. I say, affirm, I do not suffer from fearing. Affirm, I do not suffer from fearing. June 7th. The strong man keepeth a coming. The strong men get stronger. Sterling Brown. The strong men keep a coming. On the strong men, it gets stronger. Sterling Brown. Being a warrior is a selfless decision. We do not make this choice because it may make us rich or famous. No, we already are. The wealth and renown of the African warrior spirit that courses through our veins, invigorating, honing, and freeing the nationalist heart and soul is incomparable and beyond measure. So even if the efforts you see around you that claim to be African, revolutionary, and sovereignty seeking do not work to our advantage, or those involved are below par in our ancestors' character, do not wallow in a life of complacency. Do not do Yorugu's bidding by allowing the frustration over the damaged, misguided, or weak Africans who are calculatingly claiming to be earnest warriors who are doing allow you to quit the process. Build a better organization, a space more in keeping with our historical warrior character, and do this using like minds who want to fulfill and embrace the African way, and which can also see the need to continue becoming better in order to live with themselves. Warriors are the purifiers. They are the righteous enraged inundation whose sole purpose is to eradicate evil from our people and path. They should be studied for the selfless work that they do to open our way to healing and thoroughly distinguish them from those who simply play warrior with their mouths. We should support them as best as we can and not menticidally shun them for fear of Yorugu and their colored disciples. Retaliation against them for their courage in the face of the genocidal assault against them. They are our champions, and their immeasurable love for us should be returned in kind. Ashe. Affirm, I keep coming. I keep getting stronger. Affirm, I keep coming. I keep getting stronger. This is the last one I'm going to read from the Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, with a quote by an individual of our people and a narrative by Baba Baruti. June 8th, blood debts must be repaid in blood. Blood debts must be repaid in blood. Dr. Bobby Wright. There is no justice without a complete equivalent correction. Anything less is an insult and a disservice to those who were victimized by miscarriages of justice. And it should go without saying that the greater the miscarriage, the greater the insult and disservice. This is Ma'at. Warriors must remember that one of the most important principles of Ma'at is balance. Accordingly, balance requires a return to order when imbalance occurs. Warriors enforce Ma'at. They are the karma that has been sent to make whatever corrections are needed for our people to receive justice and return to Ma'at. And that return does not conform to others' desires to escape punishment. It does not return with us praying for their forgiveness and our forgetfulness. Lest we forget, these barbarians murdered hundreds of millions of innocent Africans in cold blood in order to steal our land and bludgeon the rest of us into a religious submission to their twisted, dehumanized, despiritualized, menticidal, anti-African interpretations of reality. Nana Baba, Bobby Wright reminded us that blood debts must be paid in blood. Nothing else will suffice if order is to be returned. The Ma'afa, Yoruba's ongoing acts of genocide, will not cease until justice occurs. And justice requires a return of order by no less than the equivalent reciprocity. Ashe. I am here to collect. Affirm. I am here to collect. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. For many of the ones that we missed. You know, I'm adamant about African sovereignty. I'm sincere and committed. I know it cannot happen here. That's why really the setup for us is on the continent. The setup for us is finally getting the African Union to be a committed, strong organization for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. The African Union should be the Pan-African organization. The African Union should be welcoming Africans home, and the African Union should be establishing schools whereby Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora learn together to build Africa. The African Union should engage in an educational process while Africans on the continent begin to learn together to be builders. They need highways, they need roads, they need sanitation, they need so much on the continent. The only thing that the European did was take the land, take the resources, kill the people. And they're still doing it, and they still have plans to do it. I mean, unlike Howard Nicholas, who I always reference, that asshole, you know, but if you haven't checked him out, go to YouTube and put in Howard Nicholas and listen to that arrogant bastard. But there are others, some recent, because the Howard Nicholas piece I mentioned, that's probably 10 or so years old, maybe older. I don't know. But you see what has been said by individuals and those with the ability to make these things happen, especially if you got resources. Because I know if I had the kind of resources, the hundreds of millions of dollars, every goddamn dime would be used to liberate Africa, to liberate African people. to establish for ourselves. And so that brothers don't need to go, brothers and sisters don't need to go to Europe. We educate at home. We don't need to go anywhere else. We educate at home. We develop the kind of farms and so forth that will feed our people. Everything could be done and be self-contained on the continent. It is a continent that is ours, that we can say, hey, no, you son of a bitches have taken too much, too long for y'all out. And we'll send you the bill of what y'all owe. Otherwise, but I know that we're outgunned. And of course, these organizations that they build, professing to have world unity and so forth, is bullshit. We know that. It's bull. But it is firmly planted in my heart and in my mind that the only thing for us, functional unity and the control of the continent of Africa and its resources to help us to be the players in the world that we need to be instead of the pawns that we have become by design. That we don't have any one rulers, that we have a cadre of leadership of men and women who understand the importance of developing, the importance of developing a righteous way of living. That we could be a model for others. But I don't give a damn about being a model for others. I want us to be correct and true to ourselves. I want us to do for ourselves and to know who we are. I want us to respect all those who came before us, those ancestors, men and women who tried to show us the way, but we continually got lost in the way because we had men and women who were traitors, men and women who got voiced by the Caucasians. You know, it's just like Kenya going over to Haiti to try to suppress what's going on in Haiti. The United States government don't want to send troops there like they have in the past. And I ain't saying they should. I don't want to see no troops going anywhere, particularly to African countries. I want to see some statespersons come there to talk about how we can settle all of this. How we can put a government back together that will respond to the needs of the people of the island, of that half of the island. And for all those people on the island, I mentioned to you all the time about the brothers and sisters in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti and the work that Sister Gabby Aurelia is doing. We have a lot of work. I know our time is about up, but if anybody wants to jump in right now, got a comment, please do so. There's a number of you in the queue. If you just want to listen, that's cool too. You know that. But if you have a comment, a question, or concern. Hey, my brother, how you doing, man? Thanks.
Baba Oshi.
Yes, sir. Thanks for jumping
Baba
in.
Baba Oshi, you're on fire today, brother. You're on fire. And you're on fire. You're on fire with the calmness. And that's scary. Because that means it's coming from the heart. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you're howling and screaming and you got a band behind you and a chorus and got all that to get attention. Brother, you are speaking so loud right now. They can hear you in Africa.
I should.
Because when you speak the truth, you don't have to scream. When you speak the truth, you don't need a sign. When you speak the truth, you don't need a co-signer. because the truth can stand by itself.
Ashe.
My brother, you said something that was so profound in your sensei. I know I said it wrong. You said dysfunction is not us.
No,
that's
it's not
an African thing.
No.
And you, when you said that, it made me, things went off in my head because you made me believe, made me remember that Africans live with the universe. They don't live against the universe. Maya is not, we're gonna make the universe what we want it to be, and it's gonna be whatever we say it's gonna be because we in charge.
Right.
We in charge of shit.
Right. Exactly.
The universe will shut you down and shut you up if you keep going directly against it.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything has a place. And that's why you see Europeans coming with this homosexual things and all this over greed and this militarism. All these things are to show the universe that we in charge of this. We grow the flowers. We make the oxygen. We control the water. No, we don't. No, you don't. You live with you. Get in where you fit in. Play your position. But the Urugu has a union that wants to kill
right.
everything it touches. And right. you know, by the ocean, I said Africa needs railroads. There were railroads in Africa. When the French left, they destroyed them.
Right.
They took it.
Right.
They took it. Yeah. They took everything that they brought because they're evil. And evil people, and you know, evil people. I didn't just say evil because to me it seems like people need I need something to blame things on. That's why a lot of brothers and sisters fell for religion, hook, line, and sinker, because that's a reason for me not to be bad.
Right.
Anything, you know, I didn't do anything. That was the devil. No, I thought it was you who came in the room and stole it. I ain't see the devil in here. Devil was in you.
Mm-hmm.
So now, brother, I don't need something to blame things on. I don't need a crutch. I don't need a crutch. I need to understand who I am and how I fit into this universe. Once you learn that, Baba Oshi, learn where you fit, where you, and some people say, I want to find myself. Mm-hmm. That's all they're doing.
Right, right.
They're trying to figure out where they fit in. How does this work with me, around me, in me, for me? And stop taking.
Right.
Stop taking. God, man. Baba Oshi, I love this today. Thank you so much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
You.
Thank you, dear brother. I know we're up against the clock, but I appreciate you, dear brother. Talk to you in a minute. All right. Brother Lusk, how you doing, man? Brother Ted.
Hey, Baba Oshi, I just wanted to say hello. I'm checking to make sure you're in, but look, we'll there'll be Friday. We'll check in earlier Friday.
Okay. You got a program coming up, don't you?
Yes, in July, the second Saturday in July, and I just wanted to coordinate that with you along with Brother Michael Jackson, who's up in Detroit.
Okay.
And so we wanted to be online with you at the same time and
let's do that.
Speak with you and the others.
Okay, let's do that. Let's make that happen, okay?
And it was a pleasure being out there to meet Mama Marimba Ani. Man, that was something.
When was this, man? When she was in Montgomery?
In Douglasville.
Oh, Douglasville. All right. Oh, yes. Oh, you went to Abaka Sansunsun.
Yeah.
Right on, brother.
Came across Baba Baruti.
Yes.
And a couple other folks, some friendly faces. It was an interesting drive there, but...
Man.
I made it.
Right on. I'm so glad. And unfortunately, I was out of town, man.
Yeah, you know, but we'll talk more about it.
All right, dear brother. Thank you so much,
right.
Brother Lusk. Appreciate
you're
you,
welcome.
Man.
You're welcome.
Peace.
Thank you. All right, bye. Peace.
We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell damn it don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Hope to see you Friday. So in that time, Shemhotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. And Bibi Fahoria means
our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day, family. Be safe. Peace.